Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
You're listening to The Blind Chick, an AfterSight original podcast. We're telling you stories about strength, overcoming hurdles, and living experiences. We see who you really are. Blindness can be an adventure. Are you ready for the journey of a lifetime? We are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Blind Chick. I'm Penn Street.
And that's Penn Street, the blind chick.
And that is Moses Street. I think I just introduced myself. Yes, it's been a week of celebrating my birthday, so maybe that's the mode I'm still in.
I know. It's been a fun one. And I finally got the right gift.
Yes, you did. We spent the weekend actually at the hot springs in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. It was so relaxing, and it's kind of hard to get back into work mode. But we have to, because we have this amazing guest back this week. Last week, if you haven't heard last week's episode, please go back. He's such an amazing guy. Joe, we are so thankful that you're willing to come back this week. Yeah. And we're going to dive right in. Moses, or unless you have something to say.
Just hello, Joe.
Welcome back, Joe.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on here with you. And it's great seeing you again. And yeah, this is cool. Rock on.
So let's jump to the light because we cannot see, because that film is so good on so many levels. And maybe jump into it with your thoughts on it.
Yeah. Like, I loved working on All the Light We Cannot See. I worked on it for so long. I started working on it and like end of February of 2020, right before COVID.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
they had the book, bought the rights to the book, where I'd signed on Stephen Knight, and they were like, they contacted me, the execs, Sean Levy and Dan Levine, and they're like, so three different groups of people told us you're the only person we should talk to.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa. And they're like, I'm like, who? And they're like, Stephen Knight. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because he was the creator of C, and then he's writing the scripts now for this show. And then Netflix, because of Marvel's Daredevil and the OA. And then also Sean Levy worked with Jonathan Tropper on Adam Project, because Sean was the director and executive producer of Adam Project. And then Jonathan was the writer for it. So they're like, all these people said we need to work with you. I was like, okay,
wow.
I think they're right. You know?
And meanwhile, no.
Well,
pressure.
If I have to.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, I love working, so yes. But so they were building out the scripts, and I got to work with them as they did that, and give suggestions and thoughts and different things. And then as we went into the casting process, we cast the little version of Marie Laura first.
Right.
We found Nell Sutton out of Wales.
Mm.
And we did a international global search for these parts, like for the little kid version and the older version. And Sean, we credit Sean Levy, really, like, he made the decision that he wanted the lead actor to be someone who's blind or low vision.
Yeah, and, I was going to ask how you found Aria.
Oh, big search.
Okay.
Like, I was looking at thousands of auditions.
Wow.
We had all the different continents, we had auditions going on, and these videos would come in, and I would have to kind of be like a detective. Pretty much everyone who has ever worn glasses says they're blind or low vision. Ugh. And so I had to figure out without asking, are you blind?
Like, let me see your doctor's note.
Yeah. Are you actually blind or legally blind or low vision?
Or the horrible thing about how many fingers am I holding up?
Yeah. I was like, because I on C gone down the rabbit hole a few times. Mm-hmm. Like we worked with this composer, this musician, this vocalist. And she said, she came to us as saying, and they like our composer spent all this time with this vocalist. And he's like, we have questions whether she's actually blind or low vision. I'm like, well, let me talk to her for a little while. Yeah. And I was like asking her questions like about Kane. And she's like, no, I'm not blind or low vision.
Oh.
I was like, well, that's nice to know. So they've spent all this time with us. So I warned them that this would be a thing. And they would come with like videos that they liked. I'm like, that person doesn't count.
Yeah.
You know, like vision in one eye doesn't count as visually impaired.
If you can see to drive, leave.
Drive. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much.
If you drove here today, you probably are.
I shot for legal blindness. I was shooting legal blindness, degenerative condition, something like that. And we ended up finding Aria. Her O&M instructor from when she was a kid had sent her a link to an open casting. She was a PhD student at Penn State in rhetoric. And she's like, I don't know, but they convinced her to audition. She sent it in, and Sean, I saw it, all our team saw it, and they sent it to Sean, and Sean's like, yes, we want to talk to her more. Like, she was doing an accent already.
Yeah,
she had lived in the UK for 1 year when she was a Fulbright scholar. Mm-hmm. And she would just naturally felt the part, and and then she lived in Pennsylvania. So once we ended up casting her, I was the first person to go meet with her, because at the time I was living in Pennsylvania. We moved to West Virginia near the new national park, the New River Gorge. Our backyard looks into it.
Oh, nice.
But we at the time we were in Pennsylvania, so I took the bus to State College, Pennsylvania, and spent 2 nights meeting with her and time with her, going through what it's like on set and stuff. And it was just, Sean was so right. Aria was the perfect person. She is meant to be an actor. This is what she's meant to do. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, she's stunning. She's so just everything about her. I just totally, and she really did. Yeah. Become the character that I pictured in the book. We had listened to the book quite a while ago. And so when we heard that it was going to be made into a series, I was just like, yay. but also you're always a little nervous too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so definitely. When something's your favorite, and she was just, everybody did. They just nailed it.
Yeah.
And it was just such a beautiful.
We got to build in lots of little details too. Sean and I would remind Aria, we were like, so your character has been blind their whole life, totally blind.
Yeah.
Just remember that in 19, this is not you.
Right.
And we'd have to remind her at times, like acting easy, but total blindness. She has some vision.
Right.
So like she's legally blind, very low vision, but she uses it.
Yeah.
And, we were just making sure, but she is, and then the little girl, I don't know if she melts your heart.
Oh my God. Melts
everyone's heart.
Yes.
She's just amazing.
And how she interacted with her dad in that first set of the model. Oh my gosh. It really brought the book to life. I did want to ask you with the set, because, you know, going from C to this, especially her as an adult, you know, trying to connect with her dad, the sound. And that's one of the things I feel like you do so well, because we, you know, being blind, we use all of our senses, unlike you sighted people out there. But I just like the bombing and when I just, oh my God, like I would cringe. I was like on the edge of my seat because
I cringed.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Because, you know, with all that noise, like our hearing is so critical. It's like it almost makes us blinder. I don't know if that's a word. How did you work with the set so that you could feel that chaos because the sounds were so intense?
Well, I'll tell you, they made it a little easier because they could shake the set when bombs went off. Building would shake. They built this house inside a studio and it would shake. They would on the bombs and dust would drop as well. Yeah, they brought you into it.
Yeah.
Like, and one of the things we learned the first day filming with Aria, and it was a suggestion from that I made. It wasn't a blindness thing. We were watching the opening scene for the show we shot first. And it's her getting up from the ground and moving towards the window.
Yes.
And the window is broken. So there's glass on the ground. Yeah. And we're watching. And my Evan assistant, who audio describes every take for me, like was describing stuff. And I tell her, I have lists of what I want to know in each scene. And then, but then I ask questions and I was like, what are her feet moving like? Like, does it look? And they're like, just normal. I'm like, she's like, what do you want to know? I'm like, she's supposedly walking through glass as she's getting there. I'm like, does it look like she's walking through glass? She's like, no, it looks like she's just walking to the window. And I was like, and I bring it up to one of the other executive producers, Dan Levine. I'm like, it's my first day, like with her on set.
Yeah.
Like I've been on set many times, but I was like, he's like, yeah, that makes sense. Tell Sean that.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I go up there and I'm like, and they're in the midst of like taking stuff. Like Sean's never gotten notes from me yet. And we've talked about that, the process.
Yeah.
And I go, Sean, this is not a blindness thing. And he's like, oh, what is it? I'm like, when she's walking over, it's kind of like she's just walking to the window, like her feet.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't seem like she's stepping on glass.
Right.
And he's like, well, how do you want that to look? I'm like, well, like she's stepping on glass.
Right.
I'm like, I'm like, you can figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I delivered my note. and I go downstairs and after a minute, Sean comes out and yells, I got it, Joe. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And because he went back and watched the playback, and so they took fake glass and broke it all over the ground like this that you can step on, it doesn't hurt your feet,
right.
But it gave her the feeling. So Aria was better and wanted more of that real, the more real experience, the more she felt real too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes her acting easier if she and into the moment,
right.
So it was a lesson learned.
Wow, yeah. That's. Yeah.
I'm just so excited that we have people like you in this industry to represent us, not just in a positive light, but in a real light, you know, like, and I really think that it is going to shift and it's going to change how society looks at people who are blind, because we've needed this, right? We've needed this for so long, and it's just so exciting that you're doing it. And you know, how can we do more?
Impactful.
We need more of you though.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We definitely do. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, good.
I'm planning on having my own shows in the future.
Awesome.
Like if C had gone on, I would have directed.
Oh, wow.
Like we discussed
it. Should
it,
have.
And
it should.
Yeah. They wanted to. They
we
wanted to, but
back.
Like timing, as things happened, COVID kind of put a wrench in things as well, and made things a little harder and much more expensive.
Yeah.
Like I want to produce my own projects, but for now I'm helping other people produce theirs, and that's great. Getting the impact how blindness is seen but also helping to cast people. I've cast people for Paramount, Amazon,
awesome.
All these different shows and networks, often as favors, and I need to start charging for that.
Yes, you should.
But I picked their actors, like, or I've like And I'm like, they're like, these are the two auditions. And I'm like, this person, and this is why, and this is what they like need. And I know this person. I'm like, you're in good hands. They'll be able to tell you what they need. Yeah. And I feel lucky and honored. And but I've seen so many auditions.
Wow. Well, Joe, this is such a visual, a visual world that you are in. And how did you get into it? Did you just really love film as a kid, and then saw yourself here, or how did you make that?
I would say my whole life, I was growing up, I had sight. You know, I worked at a video store for 4 years.
Awesome.
And I was legally blind at 19. Mm-hmm. I was losing vision, but I could barely tell. And my first semester in college, I lost most of my vision, but I was obsessed with TV, film, sports as well. And I just, in college, I took communications courses and ended up studying PR and media, but also the impact of media. We had a class on media effects and the impact and how minority populations get into it. I also took one about women in media. And we got to dissect and analyze media and even colors people are wearing, what activities they're doing. And I took that and I started using that around my disability, blindness. And I grew up with a learning disability, but really the blindness, I was always searching for myself in that realm. And I would watch movies like At First Sight and be like Val Kilmer as a massage therapist.
Yes.
I'm like, I was like, am I supposed to become a massage therapist?
Yes, exactly. Like,
I remember thinking that. I'm like, I don't really want to be a massage therapist, but like seeing others, like Scent of a Woman. And,
yes. Oh my god.
And I'm like, I was like, that's not me. I'm like, and seeking myself, and I was coming out of college and applying for these jobs, and I was working in sports marketing and PR, and then September 11th happened, and I was in the New York, New Jersey area, and our economy was already going into a recession, but PR just disappeared. Oh. And I ended up then having to apply against these people that were seasoned, and I was legally blind. I couldn't drive anymore, right. and low vision, and not as confident about talking about it. So I ran into a lot of obstacles, and I would make it to final interviews for all these, like the NBC Page program. Yeah. I was in the final round for that, a whole bunch of things. But I would never end up getting it.
Yeah.
And I blame some of it on myself too, like not creating that trust about myself, like disclosing my disability and being comfortable talking about it.
Right.
The more comfortable you are with yourself and who you are and what you bring and how you do things, the more comfortable they're going to be with you.
Yeah.
And so going into media, it just wasn't happening. And after I ended up taking a substitute teaching, or going in for a substitute teaching job, and they offered me a teacher's assistant job in the physical education department.
Wow.
Yeah. They knew I was legally blind and low vision, but I ended up doing that for 2 years. At this school for emotional behavioral special ed in Northern New Jersey, like Newark, New Jersey, Jersey City, Patterson, like inner city kids. And I loved it. Yeah. It was K through 12. I got to work with an array of kids from all different worlds and with different disabilities too, including one that was blind and one low vision. And learning about what their professionals, but I already was learning Braille and learning how to use the cane and technology. And technology really saved me in my undergrad because I didn't get the services that I should have to be a competent person who's blind. Didn't get it in school growing up. But I finally got technology, and then later got Braille and cane skills, and it changed my life. And I ended up going back to grad school at Florida State, which was a blindness teaching program, teaching children who are blind, visually impaired, orientation, mobility, all that stuff. And fallen in love with that stuff. But still, I was analyzing TV and film about blindness. One of my classes projects was all about that. Then I went through an array of jobs, like teaching in Brooklyn and orientation mobility in New Jersey, yeah, and working in Florida, and all these different jobs. And I ended up at this one where I was writing employment content, that curriculum,
oh,
for this program called Career Connect.
Okay.
And about blindness mentoring and all this stuff in education and employment. And during the day, I was writing that. At night, I was writing about popular culture, TV shows, because I would be like, that was something I really loved writing. And and then I started getting contacted by TV shows and other places, yeah, and asked. I was worked on a writer's room, and then, wow, Marvel's Daredevil came, and yeah,
wow,
and so kind of full spectrum.
Wow.
And the really, the impact I think I make most is that the people I work with go on to other productions, and then they hire persons with disabilities. Mm-hmm. They bring them into their production, but also in front of the camera, behind the camera, yeah, and I show how persons with disabilities can do things in a different way.
Absolutely.
And they all, the ones who worked with me over the years, know I'm confident at what I do, and I take a lot of pride in my work, and I know film.
Yeah.
And so they see that, and then they bring it on. Like, people we cast in shows like Shayla Brown ended up in Women Talking.
Yeah.
Won the Oscar for Best Adapted Script. Original script. And then like people like Jessica Harper, who was in she was an actor who lost her vision later in life,
yeah,
but her brother was blind, her other brother was low vision, and she ended up becoming John Lithgow's wife in The Old Man. Our friends,
yeah,
who went from season one of C brought her in because she's fabulous.
Yes.
I mean, amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all so cool. And and because of you helping so many people out in the industry, check your email. I've already sent you Penn's headshot and audition tape.
Oh, nice. I appreciate that, actually.
No, I'm joking, but she would be.
Hey, no, you should.
She would be wonderful.
Yeah. But what you said, though, is like I never thought of myself as beautiful or anything, but I kept mm-hmm. getting pushed in. Oh my gosh, you should model. You should model. You should model in mm-hmm. my, you know, teenage, early 20 years. And yeah, I would get asked to do small projects, but then people like, oh, you need to take it to the next level. And every single time I went to that next level, they just didn't know what to do with me. And so mm-hmm. I never broke out of that, you know, kind of local, which, and I did enjoy it, and I learned a lot about myself, and it was good for my self-esteem. But that's why what you are doing is so freaking exciting, because yeah, now, you know, a kid out there, a teenager out there, or an adult out there that like, oh my gosh, this is actually something that I could do, because you've mm-hmm. broken, you've shattered that glass ceiling for all of us. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of us out there trying to make an impact. I think of actors like Marilee Talkington, just a number of people really pushing forward to make impact. And Aria is going to be in acting, yes, for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not going anywhere. And I'm hoping she wins the Emmy in,
yes,
in the fall.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. Yeah.
So then the big question is, what's next?
Yeah. So I've been working on different projects. I had two animation projects, one large one, one tiny one. Like that was a indie project, the tiny one, where I helped cast the lead actor. I helped on the story and the movement of the characters. And animation was kind of new, but I had worked on like a children's book with a Scholastic. They had this series called Dragon Masters.
Oh.
And I worked with the author, Tracy, as she wrote this one about a girl who's blind, and they use her she uses her dragon almost like a guide
dog.
But I have like staff movement in it, and I was like making video references for the illustrators, and then having like it described to me. And then I would say, no, what about this or different things. So then brought that to animation in these projects. And I was working on some other things that after the strike haven't come back, and but we'll see. I have some possibilities, film possibility, a number of things, but I also still am writing my own stuff. Yay. And eventually I want to sell my own shows.
Yes.
Exciting.
Well, Joe, you absolutely made my birthday. Moses, you're completely off the hook.
Maybe, Joe,
for next year too. It doesn't get any better than this. But Joe,
I want to stay in touch, no doubt.
Absolutely.
And talk a little more about your film and stuff. See what's possible in the future. And I'm psyched. I get to also, besides that, I do some consulting work for like the American Printing House for the Blind. I represent, as they're building out this museum called the Dot Experience. Mm. It's about Braille and blindness and the history of blindness and the technology and canes and all that stuff. It's going to have Helen Keller's archives. Oh. It's going to have stuff from Stevie Wonder and others.
Yay.
But it's also going to have firsthand stories from just various people who are blind or low vision.
Wonderful.
From around the world and in video telling their story.
Yeah.
So just how we're all so different.
Yeah.
Come from different places, different experiences, and we come in different shapes and sizes and colors.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is what The Blind Chick is all about. You said it right there, Jonathan. You take that clip. That's our new commercial right there.
Love it. This has been such a pleasure being on The Blind Chick. Best name of a podcast I've ever been on. The same.
Thank you. Oh, it's kind of sad to me that it's kind of coming to an end, but all good things do, right? Because then we got to get ready for the next good thing. So again, Joe, thank you so much. And thank everybody out there for showing up week after week. Please keep liking the show, sharing the show, and give us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. But we really do appreciate it. And again, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you have a question or you have a comment, just like James, give us some feedback@aftersight.org or give us a message on our phone line, which is 720-712-8856. And remember this week, take some time to be kind to yourself and find a way to be kind to somebody else. It's good for your soul. And we will see you next week.
Woo!